different ones. Well, there's no question where Sophocles comes down on that, you see. But this is one of the ways that these kinds of issues were played out before the Athenian public. All right, so we can make rules, we can change them, we can flaunt them, we can chuck them around, we can tease them out. Nothing is finally right. Nothing is finally wrong. Nothing is absolute. This quest for truth is foolish. This quest for ultimate reality is foolish. Man is the measure of all things. That means me. I'm the measure of all things. I measure everything in relation to me. The aim is not to be right, but to prevail. If I go in a court of law, I'm not interested in justice. I want to win. Justice is another issue entirely. That's for theologians and philosophers to worry about. Gorgias posed the hermeneutic paradox. Nothing exists. If anything existed, I couldn't know it. Even if I could know it, I couldn't communicate it. Everything is relative. Everything is relative to me. It's at that juncture that Socrates appears. Socrates wants to vindicate reality. There is something out there. It really exists. He wants to vindicate our capacity to know. And he wants to vindicate our capacity to communicate what we know. But the Sophists had left an indelible mark. They had, in a certain way, handed Socrates his agenda. Now, we'll see at the beginning of our next lecture that Socrates attempts to answer these questions partly in the context of the Athens in which he lived, and partly through his pupil Plato and Plato's pupil Aristotle, moved philosophy off the dangerous promontory on which the Sophists had left it. But the durable contribution of the Sophists was to have forced us to ask these nasty questions about the eternal and the momentary, the true and the seeming, justice and prevailing. We've been forced ever since to formulate our questions in that way. How the Greeks answered those questions in the 4th century BC, we'll see in our next lecture.